Hey, Emily, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good. Well, it's very nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's good to meet you. You're just down the road a piece in the Peter Patch.
Yeah, exactly. You guys just released your single Get Back Again, which technically has already been out. Fans have kind of dubbed it the Holy Grail of unreleased songs. So, what does it mean to you to have this song officially released?
It feels pretty good. We were happy with the song. It had been years since we'd heard it, and we have a long sort of complicated history with that song. I think it was maybe the first song that we really thought, this is a good song. We've really written something of quality, and it was slated for what would become Up to Here, but it was almost the first thing we had in a way that. And as a result, other things came along and pushed it out of the way. I think we wrote 38 Years Old while we were in Memphis recording. And so we were very excited and invested in writing, always looking forward and always pushing on the next song. So the older songs sometimes got left by the wayside. And that's really all that happened with Get Back Again. It was a little bit older and it suffered from that. To hear it after all these years, really exciting for me. And it's very much the way I remember it. There was no special magic or tweaking involved in getting it ready to put out. That's the way it was.
And I think too, fans are so stoked to have this out now too. Like, what do you think or what have you received from fans now that it's out like this?
Well, the impression I get is that people are pretty happy that, as you mentioned it, some people call it the Holy Grail of unreleased hip songs, and it has been heavily traded. There was a live version of it that Gord and Paul played with Murray McLaughlin's guitar player on a Murray McLaughlin radio show on the CBC. And if people know it at all, that's usually the version they know, that or the version from the Misty Moon. But we had had a couple of attempts at recording it. We recorded it as a demo for Capitol Records, which we were never on Capitol Records, but they had us demoing. And we did this version of it that we thought was the best version. We were so excited. We were just beside ourselves at the end of it. And the producer, guy producing the session, said, "That was fantastic. One more time, exactly like that, and I'll hit record."
Oh my goodness.
And that kind of took the wind out of us.
Oh
Yeah. So, that's part of the long, complicated history of that song. So.
yeah, no doubt. And it's one of those things, too. You're mentioning how it's like one of those earlier songs. And going back now, so you guys are celebrating 40 years this year. What does the early support mean to you guys going through as a band? How important is that?
It's great. You just you never know what you're going to get, I guess. We just tried to be authentic to ourselves and operate from the point of view that we're average guys, average Canadian dudes, and if we turn ourselves on, other people will like it as well. And being a music fan myself, I don't want to follow a band that just churns out the same record time after time after time. I want to see how they develop, what they do. I
Exactly,
become
yeah.
a fan of an artist and I want to see them grow and change. And when a band grows and changes, you lose fans along the way and you gain new ones.
That's true.
But we're very grateful for the people that stuck with us and the people that Up to Here was an important album for and that are excited about this. We are most lucky and grateful for them.
Absolutely. And I've been told that you like to see local musicians in and around Kingston. So how important do you think that is for people to go out and support those bands that people may be like, oh, I don't know, I haven't heard of them, because they could turn out to have be big and successful.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. And they're all successful, really. If you're out there making music, making a joyous sound and turning people on, you're a successful band. I think we thought that we were a success the first time we got together and wrote a song, and it was like, it's pretty good. We're a successful band. That's all it is, really. And you just try and follow that little success with another one. Write another song, play a show. So yeah, get out and support bands. It's tough for a band. My son is in a band, Cassidor, and they tour around, and they get paid the same amount to open a show now that we got paid to open a show in the mid 1980s. That money hasn't changed. All the expenses, everything else has become so much
Everything's
more
gone up
expensive,
except that.
but the band is still getting the same amount of money.
Yeah.
So it's tough out there for a young band. So get out and support bands.
I really like that outlook, actually. So with the 40 years, that's what does that kind of milestone mean to you and the band?
We're old. I don't know. It's 40 years. It's very abstract to think about it. And when I hear, when I heard these demos and the outtakes from the record, these things, and even the live show, I remember it so clearly. Like I closed my eyes and I know exactly where I was standing and what everything, it was a it really transports me back in time. And that's one of the things I love about music, is it's a time machine. And it's not just your own music or our own music. It's all music. It's a time machine. It transports you to a different time and place and viewpoint, and it lets you see the world from someone else's perspective. It's so valuable, so important.
That's so true. It's so true. And one of those things that you kind of get transported back, I'm sure fans will get to experience this. Can you tell us a little bit about your documentary, the four-part series that's coming out on Amazon Prime?
Ah, yeah. That was Mike Downey is the director. It's Gord's older brother. I think if Gord were here, he would never have allowed that to happen. But that's what happened. And he conducted about 10 or 12 hours interview on camera with each of us to shape the documentary. And then we took all those transcripts from all those interviews, and that's the basis of the book, the coffee table book. So the documentary is No Dress Rehearsal, and the book is This Is Our Life.
I was actually, yes, I was going to get into the book. So is that something that people can look forward to? Is just a coffee table book? What kind of things can people expect from that?
It's a coffee table book with a lot of great photography, a lot of great memorabilia, tickets and posters and all that kind of stuff. But it's the story of the band. The documentary is the story of the band as filtered through Mike and his team, and that's a good thing. It gives you a very clear perspective, and it tells a story the way a film or documentary needs to tell a story. There has to be a story arc. But when it The book is just our words. It's the five guys in the band, a little bit management and crew, but there's no subjective opinions on what went on. It's just us, and we may wildly disagree on something. Like someone, we could tell two very different stories about the same thing. I think that's important because that's the way life plays out.
It's
But the
true.
good thing about the book is it's just our words.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, those are the only questions I have for you today. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.